You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
For the cheeseheads who want it fresh and the ones who think Lambeau is a cathedral, this is Pax What She Said. Now, here's Perry Goldstein and Maggie Loney.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we are, as we're recording, less than a week away from the new league year officially starting, which is incredibly exciting. We had planned on doing like a big combine show, big combine recap. We even teased it in our last show. And then so many things happened in free agency. The Bills, some teams just completely blew up their rosters and released players. So we figured there was honestly too much to talk about with the free agent market. So Perry, do you have any quick thoughts on the combine before we kind of dive here into what the meat of this discussion is going to be today?
I mean, my thoughts on the combine are really that A, there are some really amazing content creators and analysts out there that if you really want to dive into the combine, like, you should go follow them. I mean, Dane Brugler, Ben Fennell, friend of the show, Ben Fennell, you know, all of the typical draft people over at The Ringer, like our friends at Pack-A-Day, Andy and Ross Uglum do a daily show. Like, so if you really want deep dives, I really encourage you all to go listen to those experts, right? Because there's people that are there and they're amazing. That would be my first take, right? My second is that I feel like the combine has changed a lot over the last few years. Players feel more empowered to opt out of drills. They'd rather do things at the pro days. They have a little bit more leverage, definitely, with the way that college football has changed over the last few years. So it's not the same as it once was, which is okay. Like, there's an evolution in the game. And I think that maybe I'm on the side of, I support a little bit more player empowerment in terms of like what they want and don't want to do with their bodies. So it's just not the way it once was, right? You're not going to get the same level of testing. Not everybody's out there. Some players really put a lot of stock in the combine. If you're not necessarily like a well-known player who's like a bona fide first round pick, like, this is your opportunity to really shine and increase your stock. And I think that's amazing. For players like Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., like, you don't need the combine. You know, you don't need to do a test. You know where you're going to, you know, get drafted, and great, good for you. You know, more opportunities for other people, and I think that's okay. So I kind of view it like at the SAT and the ACT these days for college. You know, like, it's test optional now. If it's going to help you get into a better school, great, take it. Submit your test scores. If you think it's going to harm your stock, you don't have to do it now. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were certainly players noteworthy, like Xavier Worthy, who set a new combine record, 4.21, made himself, I'm sure, some money by doing that. So there are players. And I think what's so cool about the combine, which is almost maybe easier to assess than the way that they participate in drills, is just how they conduct themselves in interviews. Like, that was probably my favorite part of the week. As fun as it is to like watch guys, I know they used to call it the underwear Olympics, right? Like watch them run drills and everything. It's almost more fun for me, at least, to sit and listen to how they hold themselves in interviews and how they conduct pressers. Cause a lot of guys have such really good stories and, you know, their knowledge of football shines through. So that I liked, you know, one of the players I mentioned on Pack-A-Day was Max Melton, Bo Melton's younger brother, who switched from wide receiver to corner. His stock is rising. He had a really good combine. So I think the last thing I'll say on this too is if you are somebody that loves relative athletic scores from Ken LaPlatte, he does an amazing job. Obviously, we know Brian Gutekunst loves those athletic freaks. So check out his website. Consider donating if you use his numbers a lot because he puts a ton of work into those. And I'm sure we'll use them as we do draft study here. But yeah, so let's shift then and talk about this free agent market, because we knew it was already going to be heavy in the things the Packers were needing, right? Running back, safety, inside linebacker. And then something must have gotten in the water on Tuesday and Wednesday because the market just completely erupted and we saw a ton more movement here right before the start of the new league year. So what were some of your first impressions coming out of that?
Yeah, well, you said it. I mean, I think we originally went in having a few names in each category, understanding who would be available. And then all of a sudden this week, the list grew a lot longer as teams started releasing players and looking at their cap and restructuring. And I think safety is just not, I don't know, maybe teams are not valuing their safeties nearly as much, but you know, we watched Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs get released this week. We watched Jordan Poyer get released this week from the Bills. I also think Mike Hyde got released, or if he was a free agent already. Either way, you know, that's a name that Packers fans will be very familiar with. So the point being is that the list has gotten much, much, much longer. And my overall arching thoughts, honestly, is that for a team like the Packers who need probably not just one safety, but two, and who need maybe not just one linebacker, but two, you know, to have a more saturated market plays to their advantage because you're not only going to have more options, but they're going to be less expensive because they have less leverage to go out and ask for more money because they have just more competition. So in general, like this week was just great for the Green Bay Packers front office.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned the competitive advantage of the salaries. We saw it a couple of years ago, and it's trending that way again, where it's not the strongest safety class in the draft. There is an oversaturation of available safeties on the market, and I think we're going to see a lot more one-year deals from guys saying, like, this probably isn't my break-the-bank year. Let me go have a really nice season somewhere in a one-year deal and use it almost like a prove-it year. And I feel for the players in that, you know, a little bit, because they deserve to make their money. But from a competitive advantage, as far as like the salary cap is concerned and what teams are going to do, you know that they're going to be looking at some of these options. And it's funny because I think we talked even last week that like one of Darnell Savage, Rudy Ford, and Jonathan Owens likely comes back of that trio. With the way that the market has kind of adjusted itself and the sheer number of guys that are available, I'm not so sure anymore. You know, the Packers might say, like, yes, they still have Ryan Downard as a safeties coach. So continuity, you know, they might want to bring someone else into the room for Jeff Hafley, but they also still have Anthony Johnson Jr. And I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but there will be a little bit of consistency there. So the way that I thought, like, for sure, the Packers would bring back one of those three, now I'm not really sure that that happens.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I also think like he's the rookie. They probably want to develop him, give him space. But we also heard at the combine this week that it's probably most likely that Savage is not coming back. It seems like there's just more like mutual interest that both sides would like a fresh start. And that there is like legitimate interest from other teams that think that like maybe they can retool some of Savage's like first round pick, you know, athleticism and tools, and, you know, he can just be used elsewhere, which again, I wish for Savage to go on and have a good career. And that maybe just like I said, the fresh start somewhere else is probably what's best at this point. And that there are teams that are interested in him. And it's just not one of those teams is not Green Bay. Another thing that happened this week too, is that, we reach the franchise tag deadline, right? So we saw a number of players get franchise tagged. I think we can debate the merits and the likes and dislikes on the franchise tag for another day. But the franchise tag happened, which I think is always an interesting deadline because it does reshape the free agent market. Who you think is going to be available may not always be available. I know that, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. was seen hanging out with Jordan Love, and, you know, everyone loves to speculate, you know, Jordan Love is out here recruiting. Quite frankly, I never buy into that because they could just be friends.
Right.
You know? Just like, you know, we saw Keyshawn Nixon hanging out, you know, with Deebo Samuel. They're probably just friends.
We just saw Matt LaFleur and Matt Eberflus together. Don't think there's
game. Right, exactly. Like, these are human beings who love to spend time together. But, you know, I say in jest, however, the Bucks franchise tagged Antoine Winfield Jr. with the hopes of getting him on a long-term deal, naturally. Like, that makes perfect sense. If I was the Bucks, I would do the same thing with a player like Winfield. Same with Kyle Duggar, right? He was transition tagged by the Patriots, meaning that they can kind of match whoever, like, wants to go and get Kyle Duggar. So it's not necessarily the same thing as a franchise tag, but he is now, I think, net, like, off the market. So it's interesting, right? It's interesting to see who was taken off the market before they even become available. The Lions re-signed Emmanuel Mosley. Legarius Sneed was franchise tagged by the Chiefs. Jalen Johnson was franchise tagged by the Bears. Not that I think the Packers were ever interested in Jalen Johnson. but, you know, things like that. People who weren't franchise tagged, also really interesting, right? The Ravens opted to not use their franchise tag on Patrick Queen, right? So he's going to become available. Again, I don't know if that's someone who the Packers are going to go after, but it's like, who is and isn't used happened this week. So the market is now like set up.
Yeah. And I mean, lots of really good names, like you mentioned, kind of starting here with the safeties, Cameron Curl, Justin Simmons, Xavier McKinney. I think your Cameron Curl is probably not in the same sphere, but Xavier McKinney, a huge one. I know a lot of Packer fans are really interested in from the Giants. Justin Simmons, a surprise release, obviously, from the Broncos. Jordan Poyer, you mentioned already, Micah Hyde, some Bills names popping up that, you know, I think everyone is surprised by to see that. So the market will be available for the Packers. And, you know, you mentioned, I don't know why you'd rush into potentially signing these guys early. You know, you're probably going to kind of let the market establish itself. Like, I'm not sure anybody wants to be the first signing ever, because you want to see someone else kind of set the market. And then, you know, for negotiation purposes, like, what's available. But yeah, these names are all, I think, going to be coming off the list here pretty quickly. It's a good year for the Packers to need some safety help.
Yeah. So I think there's an important distinction here as well. So you mentioned a number of names, and I think they're all within, like, worthy of conversation, right? And I think, you know, we're bringing up safety because, to me, it's the most likely position that the Packers are going to sign in free agency, that and inside linebacker. And you mentioned Xavier McKinney, you mentioned Justin Simmons, you mentioned, you know, there's Geno Stone, there's Julian Blackman, right? There's Jordan Poyer. And all those names are, I think, well worth discussing, but they also are, I think, in two separate categories. Right. There's players like Xavier McKinney, who are free agents, who the Packers could not sign until the league year begins March 13th, right? But then there's players like Justin Simmons and Jordan Poyer, who were released from their teams, which means they can get picked up whenever. And to your point, I think, I don't know why you would sign any of those players in that second half bucket, because they can just get signed whenever, right? So you want to see, to your point, I think you make a really good point, which is like, let's see what the market is. Let's see who, you know, that first free agent signing is, like, where they set the market at. And then you can go and make a deal. I would love to see Jordan Poyer on the Packers. I think that's my number one choice. That's maybe not everybody's number one choice. I think it's probably Xavier McKinney, just given age, right? But Jordan Poyer has been playing at a high level for a very long time, even though he's in his early 30s. I think if you are thinking about the Packers in like an all-in Super Bowl run perspective, like, yes, they're in a youth movement and you should be in a youth movement, but at some point you do want some kind of incredibly strong vet presence on either side of the ball. Right now it probably means on the defense because that's where their largest holes are. And I think we'll switch. There's one position group on the other side of the ball that we're going to talk about in potentially free agency where, you know, you want, especially in a single, potentially like more single high safety look that we think Halfley is going to run. My last line of defense is going to be anyone, I want it to be someone who's been playing the game at a very high level for like a decade plus. Right. And I know that he was hurt and, you know, but the Bills are releasing players left and right because of cap space. Not because the player, I mean, they released Tre'Davious White. Like they released one of their starting offensive linemen simply because they do not have the room to hold them anymore. Not because these players cannot play any longer. So that's where I stand. And I think he will be a lot cheaper than a Xavier McKinney, who you potentially might be overpaying for.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm curious your thoughts on this, and I think these are two like really good transitional players to talk about the next position group that is kind of on our list. You alluded to it already on the defensive side of the ball, but inside linebackers, you could argue, you know, that inside linebackers and safeties are kind of going more hand in hand as we're seeing bigger box safeties kind of filling that middle of the field defense. And two names that are really intriguing to me who have had down years and could use a career rejuvenation are Jeremy Chinn and Isaiah Simmons. And I'm not sure if the Packers would have any interest in either of them. I don't know if Packers fans would have any interest in either of them. But the more that I look at players in the draft, I find that I'm drawn to a type of like hybrid box safety that can play inside linebacker.
Really? And... You are drawn to those kinds of players? I'm shocked.
And those are just two names that are really interesting to me, because if you talk about Jeff Halfley liking to play that middle of the field closed style defense, we know Quay is athletic, but he has some strengths and weaknesses to areas of his game. And I'm curious if we could see them target a very specific type of safety or inside linebacker that they don't feel they can get maybe necessarily in the draft in free agency. And Simmons and Chinn come to mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think I loved those two players when they were coming out of the draft. I mean, namely because of what you just said, which is that they're very unique. I think about them like center fielders in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can roam and do a lot of different things, like a very athletic high level. And I think Simmons was always especially a player where when he was coming out of the draft, people were like, how are they going to use him? You know, when you get drafted to a team, it's like this player is going to have to go to a team where you're going to have to be very creative with how you use him, because if you use them incorrectly, they're not going to excel. And again, I don't know Jeff Halfley from a hole in the wall at this point, but maybe someone a little bit more creative from a college level scheme could find, you know, an Isaiah Simmons type player and utilize him in a more creative way. I think those are good names to keep an eye on. And again, to your point, I don't know if the Packers are like bargain shopping this year.
Right.
But they're definitely not 2019 Smith Brothers, Amos, Turner, go all in for big swing shopping. They're somewhere in the middle. And I think those two players like fall into that category.
Well, and I think the Packers kind of have the luxury of not having to take big swings this year. Like you talk about, yes, they have the potential to make a Super Bowl run. So you want them to take high risk, you know, high reward kind of players. Like if they think they're one player away, they absolutely should go get that one guy. But this is a really good year for them because they have so many draft picks in the top 100. They've got that additional second rounder. Like they've got the third rounder from the Rasul Douglas trade. Like I think they have what, like six picks inside the first couple rounds or the first couple days. So yeah, they absolutely can say like, hey, we're gonna go in. Like maybe they love Drew Tranquil, right? Like sure, let's go spend some money on him and then we can round out the rest of the room in the draft. Like they do have the luxury at least of saying we've got some really high value picks here and see what happens.
It was funny that you bring up both those players because you know what both those players have in common? Both of them had perfect RAS scores. Yep. Jeremy Chinn and Isaiah Simmons both had 10.0 RAS scores.
That is funny. I forgot about that.
And they're both from the 2020 draft class. I mean, they're young. They're still young. Like you take the swing on their second contract, their like first contract, I would say, post rookie season. They still have, and linebackers, you know, like I think we've seen a lot. Like it comes in like the third, fourth, fifth year where that development can happen. They have high upside in their athletic traits, clearly. They fit the mold that Goot loves, which is like super freaky athlete. It could be the swing.
And that's what they did with Preston Smith. He was coming off of a rookie contract with Washington. And they said, for your second contract, here's the bag. We think you're ascending. And he continued to ascend. And
six years later,
he just restructured to stay in Green Bay and likely will retire a Packer. So yeah, this is the time. And that's why like, I would love it if Jordan Poyer signed with the Packers. I would be all about it. But I just am not entirely sure that I see Goot doing that because you mentioned already like the age factor. And again, you know, if they want like a strong vet presence in the room, then I think that absolutely would make a ton of sense. But I do think that Goody really loves that like second contract market. That's kind of where he likes to like get the feelers out. And there's some good ones. Like, obviously,
so who would your like safety, like where does that fall? Who falls into that bucket then for you?
I like Cameron Curl.
Okay.
Another Washington player. I like Jordan Whitehead too. I think I'm a little higher on him than some. But yeah, I'm just fascinated by the Jeremy Chinn, Isaiah Simmons thing. Like, do I think it's going to happen? No, but I'm interested.
I think they have a better shot at it than you'd think because like, inside linebacker is a need. Like it's a hole that needs to get filled. Cameron Curl is a good one as well because again, like high relative athletic score, young second contract, like 2020 draft class. I think Julian Blackman should be on that list as well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, do you want to flip over? Because I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's worth a discussion. Let me put a ball on this side of the ball. If the Packers do anything in free agency, it's going to be on the defense side of the ball. I do like genuinely believe that. However, there's a small part of me, given that they quote unquote made inquiries about Jonathan Taylor, that we still haven't heard anything about Aaron Jones, that we know that they're not bringing AJ Dillon back. Every single running back is available. This is one of the wildest, most robust running back free agent markets that we've seen in a really long time. And once again, like we mentioned earlier, the more availability there is, the less expensive these players are going to be.
It makes
I think there's a good a good chance. I don't like it. I'd rather get someone in the draft, someone young, someone fresh, not waste money on a running back. If you're going to pay money for a running back, I want it to be Aaron Jones. I'm going to be very clear about that. However, I do think there's a good chance that they go and get one of these free agents. How do you feel?
I 100% agree. Just to put a bow on the inside linebacker conversation, Sione Takitaki is my under-the-radar pick for inside linebacker. I know all of the things about him because he played for the Browns, and obviously I'm forced to follow the Browns very closely, but he had a really strong relative athletic score. So just, you know, just a little under-the-radar prediction inside linebacker. I don't think he'll cost a ton of money. But yeah, no, I think it makes a ton of sense for the Packers, and I agree with you. I don't want them to be spending that kind of money on a running back, but if we were comfortable with them bringing AJ Dillon back for a couple million, then we should be comfortable with them using those same resources to bring in someone that they feel better about, right? Like, I'm with you that Aaron Jones needs to be the guy above all else. Like, I don't care who they bring in. It needs to be Aaron Jones. But let's say they were going to give AJ Dillon $4 million. If you want to go sign, like, I don't know, Alexander Mattison for $4 million, like you like his game better, sure, then yeah. But I don't think that should deter them from taking a running back in the first couple round, not round one, but in the, like, probably on day two or early day three, because I think it just gives you a buffer too, right? We saw Aaron Jones dealing with injuries. A rookie, you're probably not going to want to be your bell cow back. So they're going to need a third. And if they're not feeling like Emmanuel Wilson or Patrick Taylor, some of these guys are going to be that strong third option. This is the market for it. And you can spend as much or as little as you want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You make a good point that, like, you really can wait to see where the market shakes out, because you don't have to make a big swing at any of these guys. Nobody got franchise tagged. Nobody's going to garner a big contract. You know, I think even Saquon Barkley is going to have to take one of those, like, one-year prove-it deals. You know, like, it's kind of sad the way that running backs are valued. But again, like, there's not a world where I see the Packers shelling out any kind of, like, big contract. To me, look, I think the Aaron Jones deal is going to get done. Whatever, like, restructure they're planning on doing, it's going to get done. So it's really about, like, who complements Aaron Jones, and then, you know, who are they going to take in the draft? And I think I kind of actually see them going through the draft first and then coming out of the draft with whatever running back they take, Blake Corum, and then deciding, okay, who's the third? Because they have Emmanuel Wilson. They'll probably pick up a few guys on the practice squad and then want to round out that room with one of these free agents. I mean, there's a long list here of people who are available. I mean, they could take a Jerick McKinnon, right? A more, like, pass catching back if they want to go that route. They could go, like, I love Antonio Gibson. I take him in fantasy, like, all the time. I think he's really fun, like, very versatile.
Very cool, yeah.
Yeah, like, more, like, wide receiver type. Although I feel like he kind of fits, like, he's like a Jaden Reed light, like, you know, like, Jaden Reed's, like, just more athletic version. Some of these guys are coming off injuries, which is really unfortunate. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tony Pollard. I mean, some of the guys on the upper levels, like, I think will get the contracts from teams who need a running back, right? Like, there's that subsection, like, Austin Ekeler, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and Saquon Barkley are going to get the contracts. They're not going to be with the Packers. So then it's, like, that next level of, like, who's going to fill in. It's just a matter of seeing, like, who they take in the draft.
I'm not advocating for this, but I just want your initial reaction to it. The Packers, we know, were rumored to be in on Jonathan Taylor, right? And that was when they had Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. How would you feel if the Packers had Aaron Jones and Saquon Barkley? Like, how would you feel if they just went in and made, like, a huge splash at an additional running back to pair with Aaron Jones?
Like, the thing is that I would love it, you know, like, it would be awesome. I don't want.
It'd be an abundance of riches.
It would depend on what they did with everything else. If I felt like they went out and got the linebacker and they got the safety and they hit, you know, they hit the draft and they happened to also through that get Saquon Barkley out of the deal, awesome. But if they get Saquon Barkley and don't fill the clear, like, glaring holes that this team has, it would feel like such a miss. Because you don't need a Saquon Barkley on this team, right? He's this team doesn't operate under, you know, the bell cow running back style of offense. So I would be interested to see, like, how they would use a guy like him, you know, like every, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the guy, he is like put everything on my shoulders kind of running back. And that's just not the way the Packers offense ever operated. I mean, we've been screaming for them to use Aaron Jones in that way and they still don't. So it would have to be the right situation, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, that'd be awesome. Like it would be awesome.
Aaron Jones and Derrick Henry.
And I mean, it would be awesome, but it would only be awesome if it was a secondary, you know, cherry on top free agent signing post feeling like the Packers had filled the holes that they need.
Yeah. And the thing that I've been wondering about, and I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but, you know, Brian Gutekunst really holds his draft picks. He covets them. Like he holds them close to the vest. He likes to have as many of them as possible. He likes to move around. There's been a part of me that is wondering if he's going to be a little more loose with those picks this year. And if there's a player that he really likes on a different roster, if he will consider trading some of these picks, because we always say that draft picks, right, are throwing darts at the wall. If there's a guy that is under contract somewhere else that you think is the missing piece, instead of trying to like plug and play guys in free agency or look at guys in the draft that you're going to have to develop, like, there's a part of me that is wondering if he's going to be like, hey, we are really close. It's time to be a little bit looser with these picks.
Like who? Do you have anyone in mind?
Not like anybody huge in mind, but I just, he made it sound like, you know, like he had a bunch of picks this year and they're looking at all their avenues. And that's an avenue that we don't historically see them pursue, right? They normally are sending out players to acquire picks. Well, now they've got the extra second. They've got the extra third. Maybe Goot says like, hey, let's go poach a safety from someone else who's ascending and see what happens instead of trying to just throw a dart in the safety room on draft night.
It would be interesting. He's not one to overpay.
Right.
I think in that scenario, you're potentially like teetering on the like overpay line. So I'd be curious to see how he would do that. But you're right. I mean, when you acquire, you know, the extra picks with a Rasul Douglas trade, or you acquire the extra picks with an Aaron Rodgers trade, you maybe feel like you have that ammunition that you didn't have before. You can do a move like that. Draft day trades are fun and exciting. So, any final thoughts on this week? Because we're heading into free agency, so we've got more to come, but this was an exciting week.
I was gonna say, I think our next show is probably going to be wrapping up the initial surge of free agency, because like we said at the top of the show, it starts on March 13th, and we know that there's going to be the little tampering window where we're going to get like glimpses and ideas of who's going to go where. But yeah, it's going to start heating up next week, and that's when it'll really start feeling like we can get into draft study, right? Because it's fun to like players, and it's fun to have draft crushes, and for all we know, Packers are going to go out there and sign like two big name safeties, and they're not going to look at safety again until the fourth round. So I always like to, you know, see kind of how the chips fall in free agency to see where the roster holes are, and that's what this week is going to do. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. This was already fun. I love free agency. It's actually hot take. I love it more than the draft. I just love seeing where players go and land and how we fill our roster. So with that, we will be on the lookout for what the Packers do. If the Packers do anything, It will probably not be the first wave. It never is. So be patient. And we'll be back with any updates. I'm sure there will be new players to talk about. So with that, you can find the show wherever you get your podcasts, download the audio, listen to YouTube at PAX, which she said, follow Maggie at Maggie J. Loney, follow me at Perry underscore Goldstein, follow the podcast, PWSS podcast on Twitter. Thank you as always for listening. We appreciate it. Bearing with us through the drought that is the off season, but we are getting into some fun stuff. March and April are really, really fun. So thank you as always, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.